Yes, what up, indeed. Happy Juneteenth.
Free, baby.
Yeah, freedom. I really like that picture that you posted today. You know, I have that same towel, that freedom towel, that Tabitha Brown collection.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Good old Tabitha Brown.
Yes. I said, oh, that's cute. Okay.
Yes, indeed. You know, I had to be by some water today.
Yeah. Yeah. So you went to the pool and such.
I did. And had Very a wonderful nice. Time.
Yes. That's what's up. So before we get started, you had commented on my hair. And I said that I wanted to tell you, I wanted to talk about it because I knew you was going to say something. So I wanted to talk about that first before we even like get into the things or whatever. So, you know, I had those bantu knots in the front of my hair, right? And it's really because I don't like my hair in my face. And because I have my glasses on most of the time, so also if my hair is moisturized, then it's greasing up my glasses. So I really prefer to have my hair out of my face. But then sometimes, like you'll see me when I do my hair wrap and it's just kind of being a pineapple or whatever, whatever. So anyway, I had the bantu knots in and I was like, girl, what is you doing? Like, is you still going, like, what is you doing? Since I had two that I put four. I'm like, man, what is you doing? So I said, well, let me take it down at least when I get in the shower, because that's when like the steam will moisturize my hair and it kind of soaks it up and all that, right? So I took them out. But then as I started taking them out, I was like, I wonder, first of all, I was like, look how long
that's
my
so
hair.
Long.
Crazy, right? That was the first thing. But because when it's curled like this, it doesn't look like it's that long. But the other thing is, I was like, what if I got locks? But I don't want locks. Like, I feel like the ends of yours is not like how I want them. I feel like I want it like curly on the ends, so it still looks natural if I were to get them. But so as I've been taking it down, this was literally just because I had it twisted up in the bantu knot. But as I've been sitting here looking at it, I'm like, what would that be like to have some smaller locks, but then also have them with the curls on the end? So that's what's going on with my hair. So I'm just letting it do what it's doing. But yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I say lock it up. I say do it. Do it. Do it.
Well, this is the thing. This is the same thing of why I didn't go natural for a really long time, because who's going to maintain it? That is always my thing, right? So now I do not want to be doing hair. Like, that's not really what I want to be doing with my life. I will do it, but I don't really want to. So what? How intensive is a retwist and like all that kind of stuff, right? So, but I hadn't really thought about it with intentionality, but when I was looking at this, I was like, that actually is kind of cute with the little curls on the end. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that ain't about to be right now situation anyway. So just know that. Also relax, because I see you sitting over
there. I got really excited. Okay. I'll relax. I'm really excited about
what
it looks like.
Bring it back a notch. I was just sharing.
Okay, my bad. I got really hyped. Okay.
I know you did. I know you did. So that's all you needed.
Since we're here, I've been said to you, I said, Kimberly, I think you would look very beautiful with locks.
I did. Listen, and I mean this in the most humblest yet serious way possible. I'm going to look good whatever I do with my hair.
Yes, indeed.
That's not the issue. The issue is not whether I will look good or not. The issue is how much maintenance is it going to take for me to be able to look the way I want to look. Mm-hmm. The issue is not if I would shave my head, like, am I going to be, I'm going to be cute regardless. Okay.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, if it takes extra work, sure. But that's the same thing people told me about going natural. They were always like, oh my God, your curl pattern is going to be so great. And I was like, who's combing it? Who's combing it? I got a lot of hair. Who's combing it? That was always my question. I believe you. And also, who's going to comb all this hair? Because it's thick and it's long. And it looks like this just because it's all straight up in here. But when you get to pull it, it's long. Anyway.
Yes, indeed.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Life Unfiltered.
What a transition.
This is the podcast where we fearlessly navigate the complexities of life, like hair, you know, love, grief, the extraordinary journey of healing. We invite you to join us on this raw, unfiltered exploration, y'all, as we share our personal stories, triumphs, and challenges to inspire and uplift you.
In a world that often encourages us to mask our struggles, we choose to lead with love and vulnerability. It's finally time to collectively address our own shit and have some real conversations. So we're here to voice the things that you might not have verbalized or even thought about so that we can get to the root of the shit and heal.
So 2024 is the year of popping that shit. And we continue to say that not just for you, but also for ourselves. So we're going to take a moment to remind you who we are and introduce you to who we are if this is your first time hanging out with us. So my name is Kim. I am an educational advocate, activist, and consultant. I'm a visionary and motivational speaker, virtual producer, network executive, intuitive melanated life coach. I help people deepen their relationship with God and to understand their unique design and purpose in order to positively impact the world. I'm a professional frolicker, and I also am a Black expat currently living in Medellin, Colombia, in South America. And tonight, I'm one of your hosts. What up?
Yes, indeed. And my name is Bianca. I am a digital strategist, a consultant, an education activist, and a certified snitch. And no, I didn't have it ready, but I do have it now because I am that girl and I am a certified snitch.
Snitch.
Yes, indeed. Okay. So I'm a private investigator and I'm a receipt collector. So please keep your, you know, your thoughts and opinions together with that. But also please govern yourselves accordingly when I pull these said receipts because it's going to be on and popping. Okay. I'm the founder of Teaching for the Culture, where we transform, we empower, we advocate, we coach, and heal. I am also an intuitive melanated life coach, a digital nomad currently working and traveling wherever there's Wi-Fi. Currently, I'm in Tallahassee, Florida, and my purpose is to empower others to find their own path to freedom and fulfillment.
I need to upload the thing so I can have them on my side too when it's time to do some air horns. Wait, am I being here from Columbus' birthday?
Yes, indeed.
I don't know. I'm gonna see. Oh, it's in the other studio. Sorry. Go ahead. I'm like, well, I'm gonna have a bit of random sound effect in every so often.
Yes, indeed. So while you're here, we operate by the three keys here. The three keys are accountability, transparency, and integrity. And before we go further, we want to make sure that we are clear about expectations, what you can expect from us and what we can expect from you. Mm-hmm. What you can expect from us to honor the three keys, baby. Okay. We're going to keep it real in this space. We're going to speak freely and we might cuss if and when we feel like it. So if you have young listeners in the room, you might need to have some AirPods, AirPods, headphones.
You got it, baby. Take your time, love.
Yes, indeed. Whatever it is that you need to do, that is your business. But just know that we're going to speak freely in this space and what we can expect from you. Okay, so we want you to interact with us, but hate speech and comments are not welcomed here. We believe in the Block and Be Blessed ministry. So we want you to be very intentional with how you engage with others in social spaces, particularly this one, because this is a safe space. We want you to engage and go on this journey with us. We are not the experts, but we are going to be facilitating these conversations. And so we want you to participate in this journey and to bring people with you, because together we are committed to doing the work to heal.
Period. So we have some quick updates and then we're going to jump into the themes. So first, I want to remind you all about our community emojis, again, explaining why this is important. So community emojis is like a way for you to give like extra love, right? They mean something to us. So in this space where we are healing, the emoji with the heart with the bandage around it is our community emoji. So when you see us out in other places, matter of fact, somebody sent me some emojis the other day and I was like, see, That's what I'm talking about. Like, yes, it's just indeed. A special type of thing, and it feels like a special type of support. So we want to make sure that we let you all know how to do that. So again, our community emoji is the heart with the bandage wrapped around it. You can always put that into the chat here. That again gives us that additional love. Along with that, we also have individual emojis. So my emojis are the crayon and the sunflower. I am on a mission to color the fuck out of this life, to take my life from a place of being in black and white to color. So that's why the crayon. And then yellow is my favorite color. I have my yellow glasses. Like, yellow makes me very happy. So those are my emojis. And then Bianca, tell them about yours.
Yes, indeed. So we have the teddy bear because it's teddy bear season. There's a lot of love to be received and to be given out here, baby. Love is the highest frequency, and it is teddy bear season, respectfully. And the next emoji is with the hands making the heart. Okay. This heart is so impactful. Your heart is so impactful. So those are my emojis. Okay. Teddy bear season and the hands forming the heart. Amen. Govern yourselves accordingly.
Amen. So also want to remind you all to connect with us on social media, on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Patreon.
Yes, indeed.
Heal that shit. I'm trying to say heal that shit and Patreon at the same time. Lord, have mercy. But heal that shit on all platforms. And this is one of the things that I want to talk to you about later, so I'm going to bring it back up. But with our YouTube, if you are watching on YouTube, we really, really, really need you to like the video, to leave us comments, to share, and to subscribe to the page, and even click the notification bell. You know, if you're feeling real supportive, all right, that would be amazing. But liking, commenting, sharing, and subscribing, all of those are things that help us, right? As a matter of fact, we had to go on a subscription spree before tonight, because you want to tell them why?
Yeah. So Facebook continues to move the goalposts and change rules around here. So there were new rules that was implemented on June the 10th that had special modifications to who can go live on their platform. And so we did not meet the threshold because we did not have enough followers. So we are thankful for the people that took that call to action late in the midnight hour, because God's going to turn it around. And here we are live on Facebook today because of y'all. So thank you. We want you to continue to like and subscribe. It does help us. It helps us to be found in an algorithm that is systemically and intentionally set up to where some of this content is not intentionally shared. So your advocacy and your call to action and your intentional sharing of this content is going to be the most vital piece, where people can hear and people have a safe space in this space that we're creating here. It is very, very important, because we are together committed to doing the work to heal. There's a lot of healing that needs to happen. And I'm so glad that we are in the position to do what we can to help others heal as well.
Amen. So again, govern yourselves. One thing, forgot. If you are listening, right? So if you watch us live, you get a chance to interact and get the comments and like all that kind of stuff. But we also know that that is not feasible for everybody's life, nor might you want to. So you might be part of our audio listeners who are listening on audio platforms. So we want to remind you, or if you are looking for that we are over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart Radio, the places where the podcast and the such are found. All right. Now, having said that, it's time to do our spirit check. And our spirit check we do with intentionality every show, because it's important to us to hold space for where we are right now and where you might be. So if you're watching live, feel free to share in the comments. If you are watching afterwards, this is a comment that you can leave for us of how your spirit is feeling. So the categories are green: I'm absolutely wonderful, life is great. Blue: I'm good, I don't have any complaints. Purple: I'm okay, things could be better. And yellow: I'm not doing so well, I need support. How is your spirit feeling today?
My spirit is purple. I'm okay. I'm present. I'm here and accounted for. While I have a smile on my face and I look beautiful and feel beautiful, there is so much that is happening outside of my orbit right now that I am just like, I need a break. I need a moment. I need some stillness. And any time that I feel very overwhelmed, I have to be by some water. Otherwise, I'll lose it. So that's where my spirit is. It's purple. It is a very vibrant purple.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
I am solid. I don't know if it's solid. I'm purple as well. And I feel like there are these pockets of yellow that are about. I completely resonate with feeling overwhelmed. So overwhelmed right now. And I'm going to get to that in just a second. Well, I guess I don't know. Who wants to start? You want to start? You want me to start? Because, I mean, it's just a lot. It's a lot that's happening. So,
where we go? I want you to start. Go ahead.
You want me to start? Okay. So, our transparency moment. Let's talk about it. So, I have been reflecting a lot lately. And a part of it, I guess what sparked it is because this time of year, last year, is where a lot of things started happening. So we shared last episode that you all had graduated as life coaches. So the first half of the year was really like I was absolutely full 100% into that. And then as when that stopped, some things started shifting. I had some traveling I was doing. I got the opportunity to go and interview Dr. Joy, and then mental health crisis, and then everything came crumbling down. So I've been trying to honor the fact that it's been a year since that time and appreciate where I am now, right? And just kind of, again, not necessarily be judgmental of it, but just look for the spaces to acknowledge that things are different, if you will, whether that be different, good, different, not good, just what is different and how am I different from last year. And one of the things that fell like really, really heavily on me was like starting over is hard as fuck. And I know you can relate to this. And, you know, we can stay here as long as we feel led. But it's leaving me like, speechless a lot. Because this is nothing like what I expected, right? Like, and mind you, I stopped being like a hyper planner, I guess, once I left the US because I didn't have shit to plan. But this wasn't a plan. This was not even close to what the plan was supposed to be. Like, even when I left the moon, this wasn't the plan. Like, what is this? And every day I feel like I am confronted with that, whether that is like my identity, whether that is looking at my brand and my business. And like, it just feels like everything has started over and it's a lot and it's overwhelming. So when my routine is off, I made a post today and I was like, when my routine gets thrown off, it is really, really difficult for me to get back on track. I'm somebody who needs consistency. And, but because I'm in this space of starting over, nothing is consistent because everything is being created, like right now. So like nothing is necessarily a habit. It's, but I'm aware that there are certain things that I do that make me feel better. I feel better when I do these particular things. For instance, having tea in the morning, like that's something that makes me feel better, or incense or whatever. But the other complication to that is a lot of the things that were bringing me comfort are, I don't have them anymore. So like essential oils I used to have every day. Well, I don't have any essential oils right now. So, okay. Incense. I don't have no incense right now. So that's that. Like it's like everything that I was using to ground myself is expiring. So I kind of feel like I'm grasping at something. Like I need something to help me be settled and grounded. So I've been like processing that, but also at the same time, reminding myself that I'm proud of myself for catching it, because in my post, I had said like mental health is not, mental health is not a destination. Like mental health is something that we consistently work on, right? So even like with, for instance, your physical health, like you can be in tip-top shape today and then what? You got to stay in tip-top shape. Like you can't just be like, all right, I made it to my goal now without the Twinkies. Like you have to, it's a daily thing, right? With the choices that you make and the way that you show up and all that kind of stuff. So I'm reminding myself of that because it's progress to catch myself before I spiral too far. That's progress. And that's something that I need to honor. So today I was able to get a little bit back on track, but it's been a lot. So I'm going to just pause right there.
Mm. A couple of wonderings. And like, I'm also wondering for the people that are watching live and watching the replay, do they also feel like they're in the season of starting over? Mm. And what does that look like for them? Because I'm in a support group, and in that support group, there's a lot of common themes of people trying to rediscover who they are and what brings them joy in this life. And so a couple of things that I also started to think about as you were talking about it, for the things that were grounding you, such as the essential oils and incense and stuff like that. Have you been able to come up with any type of alternatives that you can use and find?
Well, I like have some Palo Santo or sage or like whatever. But when it comes down to, do I spend money on this or do I eat? You understand? So it's just kind of at that place of like, I need to make sure that I am honoring the things that I know that I have to do, even though these are some of the things that I need to be able to do that. So it's like this, it's a cycle, like it's like this vicious cycle that I feel like I can't really break out of. So yeah.
So as you're starting over and creating the new rules, what does that look like?
I'm out here. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. I don't know. You know, there are things that I know that I have to do, right? For instance, I didn't really eat yesterday because I wasn't hungry. My cycle came down. I am getting over an ear infection. It was just a lot. And I was like, I don't want to do this. I will drink some water and try tomorrow. I just don't want to do it. But that's an indicator to me when I'm not eating, like, okay, something is going on, type of thing. So it's like, okay, I know I need to eat. So if I know I need to eat, what can I always have on deck that might be easy for me to eat? So remember, I used to have applesauce all the time, right? That was one of those reasons, because at least I can have this applesauce and I don't have to cut it and chew it and, like, you know, all of those things, right? Mm-hmm. So good and bad, being here in Colombia, food is primarily fresh. Like, the most accessible food is fresh food. So there's not really, like, processed applesauce. Like, that's something that you have to make. But there are apples, right? So technically, I can cut up the apple and put the apple in the blender and now have applesauce, but, and also now I got to clean the blender. Now I have to cut, you know what I mean? So it's like all of these micro things that are embedded in tasks. And I guess it's something that I want people who are neurodivergent, or people who are loved ones of people who are neurodivergent, don't ever tell us, just do this. Like, we're very well aware of what we need to do. I'm very, very well aware that I need to eat every day. Okay. I am clear that that is something that I should be doing. Also, though, I am very aware that I'm not going to die from not eating one day. So it's not helpful. Right? It was like, oh, I wasn't able to eat today. Well, just go eat. That's not helpful. Because if I could just go eat, I would have ate. Right? So the question is, what else is happening that's overwhelming you, and how can I support? Right? Like, so anyway, I know that was like a few twists and turns, but I'm trying to establish to the systems. Remember, I was telling you about this the other day of desperately needing these systems. I'm trying to establish a system of, this is the day and time that I'm going to go grocery shopping. So I have these particular items on hand for the week. This is what I can prepare ahead of time. This is what will take a little bit of preparation to just get it together in that moment. But again, there are a lot of micro tasks that are involved in that. And if my brain is already exhausted, then it is taxing for me to think through all of those micro tasks to get something done that I should just be doing. That makes sense?
It does.
So it feels like a constant, it's a constant recentering and a constant reevaluation. So I'm trying to figure out what that looks like. So you have said that you relate to starting over. Did you want to share anything about that, or you want me to just keep sharing?
I want you to keep sharing.
Okay. So I've been reflecting, and so I've gone back, and I talked about this too last episode, of like going back and watching YouTube videos and all of that, just appreciating what was said. So what I started doing this time was looking back at where everything started. So it led me back to my Google Drive, where I started recording these audio messages, right? I didn't know what it was at the time. I just felt like my brain was so busy that either stuff was coming too fast that I couldn't write it all down, or I didn't feel led to write it down. So I started making these recordings. And eventually, they were happening a bit frequently. So then I was kind of like, is this a podcast? Like, what is this that I'm making here? Like, I don't know. But it didn't feel right to release it in the moments that it was happening, because in hindsight, it was a lot that was going on. But I'm at the point now of feeling more comfortable and ready to talk about what this past year has been like. and what it feels like to live up to burnout, and also what does it feel like to live through burnout? Because I am concerned for people that are in my life, and you being one of them, but I don't want y'all to end up where I have been, as far as not being able to function. Like, I could not function. Like, I literally, there were just so many days I don't even know what I did or where I was. Like, I think I was in the closet. Like, that's all I know. And I see so many people like teetering on that line so often. And it makes me concerned, because I think when we talk about burnout, we talk about it like it's just, you know, like you'll be tired and you just take a nap and then everything will be fine. And that's not what this is. It is so much heavier than that. And then I've been doing research, and they were like, it takes anywhere from 3 to 5 years to recover from burnout. And I was like, wow, I'm just on year one. So it puts it in perspective, but also you don't want to have to get into a situation where it takes you 3 to 5 years to try to put everything back together. You don't. Like, it is so hard to figure all of this out in every area of life. Like, that is so difficult to be doing. And I realized that I've chosen to do this in a different country. And because of that, in many ways, I've chosen for certain people to not be a part of it, because they chose to act like phones don't work, or whatever. But it's a very lonely process. It's very lonely, because a lot of times, even when I was going back and listening to the podcast, I didn't know what was happening to me. I had no idea what was happening. I was just like, I feel the first podcast episode I made, and let me put the link into the chat just for intentionality for y'all who are watching. But the first podcast episode I made, the name of it is Both And. And in the episode, I was talking about how I was so excited to go to Miami to interview Dr. Joy. And I was like, and I am also stressed the fuck out. I was like, I am so tired and exhausted and emotional. And I didn't know what was happening to me. So now I know, of course, in hindsight. So then I'm like talking to people and wanting to share, like, these are the signs. This is what happens when, you know, you feel like you're approaching burnout, or this is how this feels. Don't ignore, you know, those signs. You're not crazy, even though people may not be rallying around you. Because something that I think is so interesting, I know I feel like this is one big run-on paragraph, but also it's been a lot. The level of compassion that we give people for medical emergencies versus the level of compassion that we give people for life and mental health and emotional emergencies is it breaks my heart. Because for me to say, like, there's a lot of things I want to say, but this one thing I'm going to say. I am, let me rephrase. I could have not been here. And I think that when I say that, people think I'm kidding. And the reason I say people think I'm kidding is because if you understand that I'm saying that I could have not been here, it seems like there would be, and I'm not, of course, not talking about you, but it seems like there would be intentionality in, is she okay? What do you need? Like, can I help? Right? As opposed to, she looks fine to me. even though I am one of those people who is very much like, hey, I'm not okay. Hey, hey. And I've gotten that way because the people in my life have been like, you need to say something when you're not okay. But then it's like, okay, so then I say something, I say that I'm not okay, and then radio silence. So now what? You know, so it's been a lot. Like, and because of that, I feel like I can't be the only person who feels this way. Like, I know I'm not the only person that feels this way because people send me email messages and they're in my inbox and all that. So what I decided to do is three things. I said, I have to honor my capacity, right? I have to honor that there's only so much that I can do right now. But also, I feel like I know that, like you said, I feel like I know that there are people who are needing to connect with me for what they need to do in their lives. And also, I know that there are people who need community and they don't know where that community is. So it makes me feel like if it's not there, if people can't find it, then we have to create it. So I've decided that I'm going to do Discover Your Destiny again this year. It'll start in July. And I'm only doing the Discover Your Destiny part. The certification part will happen in 2025. So if anybody's listening and you're like, I want to be a life coach, great. This is the first step. Everybody has to go through Discover Your Destiny before the certification process. But I want to do that this year because there are about 5 or 6 people that I know that have been like, I'm just letting me know when you're better. And I need to do this. So I decided that I'm going to do that. But leading up to that, I feel like I need to create these spaces to hold space for those of us who are experiencing burnout and might not know that you're experiencing burnout. So I'm going to put these slides on the screen, but and also if you listen, just listen. So this is the wrong one. But the first one that I'm going to do is this Friday. And it's just recognizing and addressing the impact of burnout. I really want to have a conversation with us about what this means and what this feels like. And I want people to be able to ask questions, because when do you really get to talk to somebody who has experienced burnout and really hear what that has been like for them? I know I haven't. So I think that that is an important space to hold, but also it's going to allow us to hear what other things might be popping up. Because like the intersection of being Black in America, neurodivergence, capitalism, corporate America, the intersection of all of those things creates this. Being Black, like, I don't know if I said that, but being Black or quote unquote othered, all of those things coming together creates this recipe where you have probably experienced these types of experiences and traumas that have happened. And sometimes we think that we're crazy because we haven't had a chance to talk to somebody else who understands. So for instance, when I was in Pennsylvania and I was going through everything there and I was trying to process what was happening, I was saying to myself the whole time, like, I don't understand. Like, I'm just trying to do what's right. Like, I don't understand what's happening. And it wasn't until I got in a room with a whole bunch of other Black educators and they were like, sis, you're not crazy. You're not. Like, you are seeing what you're seeing. You're feeling what you're feeling. You're experiencing what you're experiencing. So Friday night, this Friday, June was at the 21st. We're going to meet on Zoom and talk about that. And I'm going to put the link into the chat so that you all can register if you want to do that. And then we'll put the link in the description as well. It also went out in my email list. So if you're on my email list, then you also have this information there. And then the second thing that I want to hold space for is people that want to move abroad, because there are so many people that message me and they're like, oh my gosh, Kimberly, like, I've seen what you've done. I want to do this. Like, how do I do this? Blah, 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 blah. It's not a simple answer. Like, they'll be like, oh, where do you recommend I go? That is dependent on so many things. Like, that depends. Just like we were talking earlier, you were like, you need water, right? I like water too, but water for me can be rain, right? Water for you is more like water that you can get into. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, for instance, Medellin is somewhere, there's not a beach anywhere around. And I'm totally fine with that because I don't like sand. I hate it. I don't want to go to the beach. So, you remember when we were in Cartagena and I was like, hey, eat on the beach? Okay, girl, let's go watch the sunset. Okay, so you're done? All right, let's go. Like, so, I've never liked the beach, right? So you have to like understand like the different nuances of where the place is to go and all that kind of stuff. So in my attempt to help a bunch of people at one time, I'm going to hold this space on Sunday, June 23rd at 3 p.m. These times are in Central Time, y'all. So 3 p.m. Central for this and 5:30 Central for the burnout thing. But I'm going to hold this space for everybody who got questions about where you want to go and how you need to get there, what you need to be doing, and all of that. And also because I want to, this is the last thing I'm going to say, I feel like I'm on the rant, but maybe I am, but I don't know. I don't know if y'all been watching the news, because I don't really watch the news like that. But hey, the U.S. is in trouble, girl. She in trouble. So I hope y'all got a plan about what's happening, because today I just saw that they passed a law in Louisiana, where I'm from, that says that the Ten Commandments got to be displayed in every single classroom in the state of Louisiana. Y'all in trouble. I don't know if y'all know it, but y'all is in trouble. And so if you ain't got a plan, you need to be trying to make a plan. And if a part of your plan is get the hell up out of there, you probably want to come holler at me on Sunday. Okay, all right, go ahead. I'm done.
Lord. Well, I hope the listeners govern themselves accordingly to those announcements, because I'm excited for what you will be doing. And yeah, I've intentionally chosen not to engage with the media, and I've been very intentional with my social media usage and what I'm consuming. And so I had no idea about the Louisiana Ten Commandments situation, but I am sure that this type of rhetoric and this type of thing will continue to go. But it's a lot happening, particularly in education spaces, and that is very, very sad. With all that being stated, so happy Juneteenth.
Right. I'm still looking for the damn reparations, okay? 40 acres of the mule and everything else.
I mean, jeez, it's a lot happening out here. So like, this question hits me more today than is any other day. I ask often people, what does freedom and fulfillment look like for them? And I've now added another word in my question, and now I've added joy. So now I ask, what does freedom, fulfillment, and joy look like to you? And so a part of this, I want to know, from you, I also put it in the chat. So for those that are watching or that will watch later, or even the listening audience, you can send this in. I'm curious to know, what does freedom and fulfillment and joy look like for you?
So it looks like creating. I've talked about this before. It looks like creating, and the ability to be able to allow those creations to develop themselves. So whether that be me painting, that's something that I absolutely see in this freedom, fulfillment, and joy space. painting and having the ability to be inspired by the day, being able to not have to worry about my basic needs, right? So having access to fresh food and being able to prepare that and allow my spirit to be free. Freedom, fulfillment, and joy. You didn't ask what it sounds like, but I will say what it sounds like. It's quiet is what it sounds like. It is peaceful. It's birds chirping. It is the wind blowing. It is hearing the rain mist fall on the plants. It looks like being in Colombia. It looks like being able to have new experiences that are sensory. So for instance, going to a botanical garden and appreciating the vibrancy of the flowers and things like that. Freedom, fulfillment, and joy looks like empowering other people to be the best versions of themselves and giving my all to that. And then I'm about to go do these other things that I just listed. Like, I feel like those are the two spaces that I'm living in. I told somebody the other day, I have been turning into this hotel hippie for a while because I see myself doing yoga and stretching and meditating and gardening and growing my own food and writing and listening to music and dancing and just having a very, very relaxed life that gives me the ability to put out the things that God wants me to put out into the world. So that's what it looks like.
Yeah. I love I love that. So freedom for me, starting with being financially free, mm-hmm. being where I'm able to make sure that all of my basic needs are met, but also some of the things that are not a basic need, but things that I desire. Mm-hmm. Freedom for me is being able to unapologetically show up to spaces and being like, this is me. Mm-hmm. This is mm-hmm. how I'm going to show up. Mm-hmm. And if you are ready to receive, great. And if you're not, then I also know how to pivot and keep it moving accordingly. Freedom for me is expanding my connection and relationship with God. Mm-hmm. What is bringing me fulfillment is like this space that we're creating here and the things that we've been working on behind the scenes that no one knows about.
Yeah.
Fulfillment are the emails that I receive of just saying, thank you for advocating for me. Thank you for looking out for me. Fulfillment is being there for my family in this vital time that we're in. Fulfillment is me being able to wake up and making the decision on what I want to do today and mm-hmm. move accordingly, just like mm-hmm. joy, mm-hmm. being able to love and love and freely, mm-hmm. sexual liberation, and being able to explore openly and to fulfill all those desires that you have in a safe space with no judgment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Joy is being able to make a decision that if I'm not in alignment with something, that I can move forward and reduce the heartbreak that is associated with
yeah.
it because of the tools and the skills that I've been empowered with. That's what freedom, fulfillment, and joy looks like for me right now.
Yeah. I love that you added joy to that. You know, for me, that's been something for a while now of, you know, I don't want to do things that don't bring me joy. And I think it is a constant, we should check in on that, you know, because it does change. It changes in different seasons. and it changes with different circumstances of life, of what we might need to feel free, fulfilled, and joyful. I think it's an important question to ask and to take the time to sit down and reflect about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what's so interesting? Before I go into that, speaking of reflecting, we haven't talked about our brain people in a while and what the state of our brain people are. So I'm wondering what your brain space and brain people look like at this current, not necessarily right now, but if right now, that's fine too. But at this current place and space where you are, what do you feel like things look like in your brain?
So right now, my brain is in this state of peace. However, in the state of peace that they're in, there is chaos.
Mm.
I see people running back and forth of trying to answer questions, and my mind is like mentally going with things outside of this podcast that just happened before we hit the go live button, right? Mm-hmm. So my mind is in a constant thinking mode, but it's like accustomed to it. It's like desensitized to it. So that's where the peace comes to it. Like, this is something that is familiar. This is not something that is foreign. So I guess that's why I kind of thought stopped a bit and kind of hesitated as I was articulating it, because it was perplexing to me as I was saying this out loud.
Why I felt peaceful.
Right. Like, why am I sitting here peaceful knowing that all of these thoughts are just running rampant right now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I do think that there's a lot of things that are desensitized as to how it's functioning now. As far as departments, we talked about thinking about the brain space kind of like a corporation and having different departments. I will say, like, the memory department, like, we're having a hard time with that. I want to continue to just say I'm attributing to me having to have open heart surgery, because after that, things shifted for me. So I don't know. But what I do know is that I'm having a very hard time recalling certain things. And that's why these receipts are more important to me than ever.
Yes. I just said the same thing the other day. I was like, oh my God, I can't remember something. I don't remember what it was. And I was like, this is why I document things. This is why. Yeah. How long ago was the surgery?
2 years ago. My anniversary is actually tomorrow.
What are your thoughts on that?
So I remember vividly being in such chaos right before my procedure, wanting to make sure that there was a continuity plan with my clients and the people that I care for, that the ball doesn't get dropped somewhere while I am going to be recovering and probably not accessible. You know, my bonus mom brought up to me the other day about how I was working days after my open heart surgery.
I literally was just sitting here thinking about that.
And you know, like, the stress and pressure, and all I have to say is this has been a vital reminder for me to maintain my peace. And to choose peace over everything and to go my own pace, because I literally almost died because I was running this rat race of capitalism and being a Black woman in America. You working in tech, the goalpost moves every time something comes out. It's exhausting. You're talking about burnout.
Yeah.
I am dealing with those residual effects of burnout still to this day, of being tired and then having my, you know, monitor that's on my watch and also that's implanted inside of me being like, hey, your heart rate's going up. You need to reduce your stress. So even things that would stress me out, that would get me upset, I have to choose peace in that. I can't have my heart rate go up again. I'm going to end up back in the hospital. Been there, done that.
So when you're saying choosing peace, what does that look like? Like, what is that process?
Ooh, I'm glad that you said that because I prepared a whole article that writes, that talks about this. It is actually going to be released tomorrow by the Watermark and it's titled Peace Over Everything. Some easy things that I feel like I've been able to do. One, don't take anything personally. I'm just letting people be people. I'm not trying to argue. I'm not trying to go back and forth. I'm not trying to prove if you're right, wrong, indifferent. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe about a week ago, I was having a conversation with someone that I care about. And they had said something to me that just really was like, I don't understand what the root of this is, but what I don't have the space for is I asked you if you want to unpack it and you sent me a 6-minute audio. So if we're not going to have a transparent conversation and and talk about this, then okay.
What are we doing?
You got it. You got it. Okay. People in alignment. You know, you want to be close to me and you want to have time with me and you're not being consistent with the way that you showing up in that. I don't have the space or energy or time with that. You know what I mean? Like firm on boundaries, baby, firm on boundaries. I've been doing the work. So choosing peace is honoring your boundaries, knowing yourself, holding people accountable, being intentional with how you show up and how you speak to people. And overall, doing what's best for you. Because at the end of the day, you are all you have.
Yeah.
And we often say we can't pour from an empty cup. We sure can't drink from one either. So.
What we don't
gotta happen.
Yeah. You said something that I was like that. When you talked about going at your own pace, like I'm trying to figure out what that pace is. And because healing is not a vertical line or like a straight line. So the pace can change like from day to day, depending on what's going on, right? So I consistently try to bring myself back to it's okay. Like why are you trying to rush this? Like, that's why I said I was doing the research and they said burnout takes 3 to 5 years to recover from. And I was like, hey, I got 3 months. Let's get it. Right? And my life was like, nah, sis, we just getting started. It's a lie. When I look at my current brain space, it feels very sluggish. It feels like, imagine you have an employee, right, that gets to work and they take their sweet and precious time. Okay, you got customers lined up at the door. They taking their sweet and precious time to unlock the door. They going to get some out the bag. They taking their sweet and precious time to go do that, right? That's what it feels like. It's like we're taking our sweet and precious time to do everything. there have been moments of productivity and I've been able to sit down and get some things done, but it's definitely not rocking and rolling, popping and bopping like the things at all. So I don't know. I guess I need to like do a inventory or have a company meeting or something and see who's what and who's who and who's staying and who going and all of that. But again, all of this is back to those systems, right? If I don't have the systems in place and I don't really know what departments I need because the systems aren't in place. So I need the systems, right? But then I need people to help me with the systems. And if they can't help me put the system, it's just, it's cyclical. Like, it's just really cyclical. So that's where my brain space and my people are right now.
And what I desire for you to do is for the people that are maybe just joining in for the first time, share with them your concept of brain people so that they are aware of what you are describing.
Yeah. So you kind of mentioned it a little bit when you were explaining, but basically it's the perfect time. Inside Out 2 is out right now. And I want to go see it, but they don't have it with subtitles here. They only have it dubbed. So I'm going to have to go see it in Spanish. So then that means I'm going to have to like really, really, really be paying attention. But also it's a kids movie, so it shouldn't be too complex, but also I don't really know that much Spanish. But anyway, Inside Out 2 is out now. And the reason I bring that up is because it's kind of the easiest way to explain brain people and brain space. So with Inside Out, you'll see like the different people. There's joy and sadness and disgust and anger and rage. And I hear anxiety is joining in too, as well as worry and whatever. So think about your brain space like a corporation, and your brain people are the people that work in that corporation. So for anything, any corporation to operate, there are different departments, there are different people that are running the operations. So in our brains, a part of reflecting and metacognition is paying attention to what's happening in our brains. It also allows us to change our self-talk because, for instance, like this past 2 days, I was like done, right? My cycle was here and I was like, sis, can't even do it, right? My brain normally would be like, girl, get up. Like, you got stuff to do. You need to do this, da 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 da. But my brain, whoever's at my brain now, they were like, we're not rest, okay? We do this every month. Rest, lay down, and whatever will get done when it gets done. So your brain people create the culture inside your mind that impacts your self-talk, which directly impacts how you behave. So that's kind of a drive-by on brain people and brain space. But that actually might be another space that I can hold of talking about brain people. I think it would be really interesting for people to have those conversations.
Yeah, especially with that movie coming out, because you see more people are having conversations about different emotions and how it shows up. So I do think that that would be an amazing opportunity for people to witness and be a part of.
Yeah, I appreciate that. All right, I'm going to see what to do with that. So anything else on that? Because I want to make a segue into our brain field trip, which really has to do with it. So what I want to talk about is two things. This concept of a concept of emotional integrity. And I also want to talk about our relationship with words. So I want to start with emotional integrity. And I'm just going to ask you, I know you've heard me use this word before, but that concept, what does that sound like to you, or how do those words land on you, emotional integrity?
It means to me, and how I receive it, is that you are in a space where you are very vulnerable, and that there is some type of expectation, that there is integrity, meaning that honoring that emotional state and being. So that is holding space, that is keeping things private if it warrants that type of level of secrecy. It is honoring someone's emotions when they are saying something that needs to be honored and to hold. That's what I get when I hear emotional integrity.
Yeah, thank you for that. And also, I heard you say doing this for someone else. And for me, the space that I've been in with emotional integrity is about doing it for me. Because we just, like, this is something you hear me talk about all the time. It's like how people will ask me, how you doing? Right. And then I'd be like, I never know how to respond to that. Like, are you asking me for real? Or are you just looking for me to say good so we can move on to the next thing? Like, why are you, and also, what are you going to do with this information when you ask me how I'm doing? Like, are we going to have a conversation about this? Are you going to empathize with me? Or are you just collecting data? Like, what is we doing with this, right? So I consistently tell myself that I want to be emotionally integrous, meaning that when I ask myself how I'm doing, that I'm actually honest about that. And when other people ask me how I'm doing, that I'm actually honest about that, regardless of whether they're ready to hold space for it or not. I want to be emotionally integrous. I want to make sure that when I am communicating, that I am communicating from an honest place. Because if I say that I'm fine and I'm not fine, that is a lie, is it not? So, like, but people do that all the time. And I don't be understanding. And I know that we have to, like, corporate America, life, the world, because it's not just an American problem, it's a global issue. Life, capitalism, society, people not giving a fuck about other people. We are trained to not give integrous answers. I don't know why that's okay. Like, I'm real confusion, like, about why that's okay. Mm-hmm. For us to just lie and just, and it's fine, it's accepted. And I'm sitting there looking and I'm like, but you're not fine. I can see it because I can feel energy. I know you, like, I can see it. So you're telling me that you're fine, but I'm looking at you and I can see that you're not fine. What am I supposed to do with this information? How do you process that?
I glitch. And so I have a moment where I don't know how to respond. Like, if I see someone and I see that they're not doing well and I'm checking in on the spirit and they say that all is well, then my body glitches because I'm being presented something and hearing something else, and there causes a conflict for me. I have had a conversation recently in regards to being honest about how you feel and not trying to be strong just because you feel like you need to be strong, mm-hmm. but to actually mm-hmm. hold space for those emotions, because otherwise it's being disingenuous and not honest and authentic. And I do think that we need to normalize those type of discussions, because, like, when I walk the trail, people be like, hey, how you doing? But you're walking past me. So why are you asking me how am I doing when I guess you want me to just say fine?
Correct. So that's why I'd be like, what do you want me to say? Because I don't know if this is a genuine ask. Like, I know that when I ask, and I often have to say to people, when I ask you how you are doing, I am actually asking you how you are doing. Like, I am holding space for whatever you say. I am asking with genuine curiosity, right? And what I continue to be confronted with is that everybody doesn't do that. So then I become confused about what I'm supposed to do. But I can't control other people, right? So then it's like, well, all I can do is, back to what you were saying just a little bit ago, is be honest to me. So if you ask me how I'm doing, then I'm going to practice emotional integrity. And I'm going to tell you how I'm doing. And if you don't know what to do with that, well, then you just sit there and don't know what to do with it. But I'm going to answer in a way that doesn't feel like I'm lying. Because how you trust people when they're lying to you every day? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Even if it's about something that's small. Mm-hmm. How you supposed to trust people if they lying to you? So let me tell you a situation that happened. You ready? Story time. Okay. So this is why I got to wish a relationship would work. And we could go wherever you take this. So I'm talking to someone and we're talking about something on a FaceTime. Just call it. And we're having an active conversation, right? They are talking and then they get a notification on their phone. Okay, so I'm gonna reenact. Let me see what I can talk about. Okay, so I'm gonna pretend. I'm gonna role play. All right, so I'm the person. So yeah, next week when I go to the store, I want to make sure that I pick up all the things that I need to get. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that just happened. So I said, you need to call me back. You busy? Like, you can take that. Like, you need to call me back. And they're like, no, everything's fine. But this has been happening, like, the whole time, that there are notifications coming, bells, whistles, things are rocking and rolling, right? Mm. So I said, I was like, you sure? Because, like, you just got a notification, like, whatever. Oh, no, it's fine. Like, I didn't even read it. And I was like, but you did read it. Mm. No, I did. But you did, though. But you did, though. So then, because I am such a literal, like, person, like, there's facts and then there's not facts, right? So, like, the fact is, you read it. Like, you paused. Why are you telling me that you didn't read it when you did read it? You did, because you were like, and then you came back after you read it. Now, you didn't open it up and read the article, like, all of the things. But yes, you read the notification. You did. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. But you did. So now I'm confused. So in this person's mind, they felt like because they didn't read it, that they didn't read it. But then I was like, but you did. So I'm struggling to understand about people's relationship with words, because words have meanings. And like, when you say something, those words should be truthful. I thought, it's a twofold thing, don't be quiet. What's your relationship with words, but also what's your relationship with white lies? Because maybe that's the issue, that there's an intimate relationship with white lies or lying, right? But the lies that you think are harmless, but they're not, like, what's your thought?
So... One, story time, I feel like it's going to get even juicier when I ask some of these questions off this call. we'll save that for the Patreon. I'm telling you, that's some good stuff there. So like, relationship with words, I take words very literally. So I want to make sure that if I'm saying something, that I'm being as transparent and clear and direct as possible. When I'm listening and when I'm hearing to something, I also want to make sure that I'm clear and understanding what exactly is being said, but then also sometimes what's not being said. And sometimes is a whole masterclass in itself of analyzing nonverbal cues. Mm-hmm. People give when they communicate, because that is a teller there. Mm-hmm. So that's my relationship with words. I'm taking you at what you say, and you hope I don't have a receipt, because I'm gonna keep a receipt every time, at least. Because people lie, receipts don't.
Come on. But that's the thing, though, Bianca. This is what I'm not understanding is why people be lying. Like, I don't, and I know that's not something we can unpack, right, and figure out and like all that, right? Say, I can't tell you why liars lie. They just lie. Like, I don't know. I get it. But also, I was looking at you. Like, so then it feels like I'm gaslighting. Now, and that elicits like an entirely different type of response because now you're doing shit to fuck with me. Because I'm looking at you, I just saw you do it. What are you talking about? You didn't do it. What do you mean? So, what's your view on lies? Like, I know people lie, receipts don't, but how do you feel about white lies? Like, do you do white lies? And, like, what? And I'm not asking for you to, like, confess your soul or anything, but also I am asking the real question. Like, what's your relationship with lies?
So, I will tell you, I've had a very interesting relationship with lies. I had been in a space where I didn't care. I was going to say it and it wasn't even going to be true, but I was going to be 10 toes down on it and look at you and be like,
really?
That was passing. Huh?
How long ago was this? I know it was another life. I'm just wondering.
Yeah. Like, I think, like, right when I graduated from college, maybe that's when I started evolving a little bit more. But I know for sure when I made this commitment of taking my life back that I was going to be better and do better. So let's just say then, just to be clear, because I might say a date and then they'd be like, well, actually, Bianca, you know, so let's just say 2019. If there was anything that I said that I did back before then, again, I'm sorry. Okay. I take full accountability. I was a terrorist, Kimberly. I'm telling you, I'm just being transparent. I was awful out here in these streets. Like, I gave Petty B a whole new name. Mm. Petty B is peace in comparison to what that could have been back then.
Yeah. Mm. I feel that.
So.
But can I ask you a question, though? Like, back then, when you had this propensity to lie and not really care, if somebody told you that they caught you in a lie, would you come clean or would you keep lying?
Ooh, it would depend if they had receipts or not.
Ah.
So if I was caught, then yes. I'd be like, yeah, okay. You got me in black and white. But yes. If you had me in black and white, if you didn't catch me in 4K, you had receipts, baby. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what's so funny? When I was a kid, my mother used to always accuse me of lying all the time, every day, about everything. And I was telling the truth. But I would get in trouble for lying about everything. So then I started lying because I was like, if I would get in trouble for lying, then I might as well lie. So, and it was the type of lies, though, where lies like so that I didn't get my ass beat by her. So, for instance, one of my lies was that I caught the bus home. But I stopped taking the bus home because the bus wasn't getting me home on time and I was getting in trouble. So I started having my boyfriend come pick me up and drop me off around the corner. And I was always home on time. But and also, I was with my boyfriend because it was important for you to get home on time and you didn't want to hear what I had to say when I was doing it the way that I was supposed to be doing it. Okay. I got home on time. Now what? And I was very big on omission. Uh-huh. I just wouldn't share.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. If you didn't ask the right question, you would not get the answer.
Yeah.
Like I just wouldn't share. I don't know when I changed that philosophy, to your point. But it's been like, it's been a while. I don't know, maybe like 10 years or so. But it really makes me wonder, because I constantly struggle with believing people when they are talking. And I continue to learn that I shouldn't. But I don't know how to rectify that without it feeling icky in my body. We've talked about this. Me and Kalanda have talked about this. It feels so icky in my body to be hyper skeptical about what somebody is saying and not believing people and being like, you know, looking for something. It feels icky. Like I'm not supposed to, I guess, but I trust people. Like, I trust that when you say something, that you said what you meant and you meant what you said. I understand that that's because that's what I do. I also understand that everybody ain't me. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, that's maybe why I need to start with people. Just be like, hi, how are you? I'm Kimberlyn. So nice to meet you. What's your relationship with words?
Yes, indeed. You coming off strong, baby. Yes, indeed.
What's your relationship with words? Talk to me about how you think about words and how you use them. Because I feel like people that actually respect words,
yeah,
and people that respect the truth would be able to give an answer to that. And I feel like if you ain't got no respect for words and you're just out here talking all willy-nilly and saying whatever the fuck you want to say, knowing good and damn well you have no intentions on doing any damn thing that you said, well, then that's going to come out when I ask that question. Yeah. No, you don't think so?
No, I think it'll be disclosed for sure. When you ask a bold question like that, it's going to be disclosed. Yeah, and you're gonna see it definitely with the nonverbals quicker than you're gonna see what they actually say. How they body position when they're talking about truth. Because anytime that you say truth or lies around people, some people start to get very uncomfortable.
This is true. This is true. I've seen it. Yeah, so I'm kind of at this place where, you know, I always talk about like making sure that we're using words in the same type of way and we understand that when these particular words are used or whatever. But I feel like I need to lead with that, because what I'm discovering is that when I ask for clarity because your words are not matching your actions, or I ask for clarity based on something that you said, people don't like that. That feels like an attack. Mm-hmm. So then what is I'm supposed to do? Because I don't understand what is happening here. And back to your earlier point, choosing peace for me means like you agitating my spirit. And I just remember when I said people don't sit right in my spirit. You know what I mean? It's like it takes me to that point of just being like, I got to throw up the deuces because you're agitating my spirit over something that you think is okay. And not that I'm here to be the right police or whatever, but if you're not being honest, like, I don't know how to rectify it. I don't know what to do with that. If you just lied about dumb shit. And if you just lied to me about this dumb shit, what else are you willing to lie about? Because why are you lying about this? Why? And then when I tell somebody, I feel like I'm getting wrapped up again, but I want to say this. When I tell somebody, hey, this just happened, and then you tell me that didn't happen, so you think I'm a liar. So you think I'm just making shit up just to make shit up. Right? Because I like to fight. Why? Just make something up. If I'm telling you this is what happened, this is how I experienced what happened, why are you telling me that that's not what happened? So you think I'm a liar? If that's the case, why are we talking? I am confusion.
What is your relationship with lies? And what is your relationship with truth? And can you normalize changing your opinion when you're presented with new information?
And what is the process that you go through when that's being, because some people, they like go the fuck off and then they come around and now you want to try to say you sorry and piece it all back together. But you done bust every fucking thing up now.
Bust it wide open.
Bust it wide open.
And cannot come back.
No, because the damage has been done. So like, this is why I adopted like curiosity over judgment. Because why don't you like ask more questions and stuff? Like, especially if, for instance, if you come to me and you tell me that something happened, right? Something I know about you is you gonna have receipts. You ain't talking on stuff that you ain't got receipts on, right?
I keep trying to tell the people that, but some people just clearly still ain't listening until I drop some more receipts, and then y'all gonna be upset.
Same, and that's what happens. So then you got to drop extra receipts, and now people upset because we make a snitch and grin again. But when I was saying what was happening, y'all was sitting here acting like I just be talking. No worries, I got receipts to back up what the hell I'm talking about. Yeah. So I just need people to have a better relationship with the truth. So the question,
please,
for this episode, I hard work for the week. Okay, it's for y'all and us and everybody. That this may come across your eyes, ears, and such at any point from now into the future. For you to stop and ask yourself, what is your relationship with words? What is your relationship with lies? And what is your relationship with the truth? Y'all drop that in the comments. Okay.
Yes, indeed. Please.
Y'all let us know. Because we're looking for our people. Because when I tell you I can't deal with another person that's just sitting up here talking to me, saying something to just be goddamn saying it, I can't take it. And it seems like the expectation is that's what you're supposed to do. I can do it. Okay? Take me out. Get somebody else to do it. I don't like it. I'm over it. Anything else you want to say?
I just want to just say, as we are ending this Pride Month, to just continue to love on each other and to continue to support every single person out here in the fight, because it is very hard to authentically show up sometimes.
And yeah.
Wearing a mask sometimes is easier than showing your true self, which is why this space is here. And that's why we're committed to doing the work to heal. And so there's a safe space here, and just wanted to uplift and reaffirm that as you're on your journey, because life be life and people be people in. But at the end of the day, you have people that are rooting for you and know that you can accomplish and achieve all things.
Amen to that. So we'll be back, y'all, in 2 weeks. Okay. With our next episode. And again, our hard work for the week is to ask ourselves about our relationship with words, with lies, and with the truth. Ask yourself that. Ask the people in your life that. I bet you find out a whole lot about some people. I bet you find out a whole lot about some people. Okay? And if they choose not to answer, that is also an answer. All right? If y'all looking for me after this, you can find me at KimberlynJackson.com. You can also find me at Minding My Black Ass Business. You can find me at Minding My Black Ass Business on all platforms, Instagram, Twitter. I'm lying. That's a lie. I'm not on Twitter. TikTok, YouTube, and Patreon. That is a horrible place over there. And I don't understand why people go over there. I ain't trying to unpack it right now, but I'm just saying.
Oh, and on the side note, while we talk about it, though, because I'm going to forget this thought if I don't say it now. What? So, you know, Elon has allowed adult content to be on the platform. And so it is on a completely different level now. Oh. If you go on X, it's literally X. Okay.
Oh. Wow. Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I don't be over there. Okay, but I do be on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Patreon. Y'all, I have a lot of Patreon content, of vlogs, behind-the-scenes stuff, receipts. There's so much content. So I would love for y'all to be over there. Also, I have a podcast with my cousins. So, you know, put syrup on your grilled cheese. And that takes place every other Sunday. We didn't have it this past Sunday because it was Father's Day. So we're trying to figure out if we're going to make up that episode or just wait. But go check it out. Go check it out. And again, leave comments, y'all. Like, subscribe, share the content with people. So that's where you can find me. Tell the people where they can find you.
Yes, indeed. You can find me on my website, www.biancagoolsby.com. On my website, you could find different links to the different ventures and projects that I'm working on, and also articles that I published. And just a reminder that my article, Peace Over Everything, will be dropping tomorrow with The Watermark. So thank you again, The Watermark, for the opportunity to write in that space. And I can't wait for y'all to see how y'all can keep your peace out here. Because, woo child, we need peace out here in the streets.
Amen. So if y'all feel led, please do join me in the spaces that I talked about with burnout and finding peace abroad. We will be back July 3rd.
Yes, indeed.
All right. It's July. God dang, this year is flying. This is crazy. July 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Until then, y'all, please do make sure that you let us know your thoughts, right? We asked all kinds of questions, so chime in along the way. And we're going to do this work to heal, y'all. We'll see you next time.
Bye.